I appreciate those specials today. What a blessing. We can rejoice. We have a God who is faithful. Open your Bibles, if you would, to a couple of places this morning. Hebrews chapter 13. And got a couple of verses I'd like to remind you of there. And then we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Colossians today. Hebrews 13. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16. And then we're going to be in the book of Colossians today as we consider the fact that we ought to always be thankful. We know that we're thankful to God. Said a couple of weeks ago that this has got to be a sad holiday for the atheist. They have no one to be thankful to. We are thankful to God. Amen. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And I think we got to be thankful for more than just, you know, football. Some of you are thankful for football today. Fortunately, we don't have a lot of Arkansas fans, so some of us can be thankful for football. I think that we've got to be thankful for more than turkey. I don't know why turkey is a huge part of our Thanksgiving tradition. I'm not sure when that started, but I like to eat turkey at least once a year and ham the rest of the time. There's my pig lovers, yeah. And bacon, in case you're wondering, is always appropriate for any meal. Turkey's become a huge part of things, and I don't know how formal and traditional your family is, but for a lot of families, even today, they cook the turkey, they bring it out, and somebody gets the honor of carving the turkey. And a lady had finally, you know, you go to mom's house for a certain time, and then sooner or later, Thanksgiving comes to your house, and it was their first time to host Thanksgiving at their house. And so mom and dad came there, and their daughter's house and her husband and everybody gathered around the table, and she brought out the turkey and set it on the table and said, "Dad, do you want to carve the turkey?" And he said, "You carve him, you married him." You know, Thanksgiving's a time for family. And we think about what Thanksgiving's all about. Most of us attribute the beginning of Thanksgiving all the way back to the Pilgrims, right? The Pilgrims at Plymouth, Massachusetts, way back in 1620, they came there, and that first year was really, really hard. About half of them died that winter, and it was really, really a difficult time. They say that the early winter that they had seven times more graves than they did huts. And just an incredibly difficult time, and yet they still found a time to have Thanksgiving. And we know how the natives there kind of came to the rescue, taught them how to plant corn and taught them how to catch fish and taught them how to do those things. And so in 1621, they had a three-day feast, and they probably didn't have turkey. They might have had goose that time, and they probably had fish and lobster and things like that. And they celebrated God's provision, and that's kind of where it got its start. And so early on, the colonists didn't really associate Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims necessarily. They had Puritan roots, and they wanted to have a time of thanksgiving to God, and it started usually with fasting before the feasting would come, and they would have times to celebrate God's bountiful harvest, and they would give thanks. And the colonists, the governors of each colony, would make proclamations that we're going to have a set time to worship God and to honor Him and to give thanks unto the Almighty for His great provision. And so those things went on. 1777 was the first time we really had kind of a nationwide, the Continental Congress celebrated one day together, National Day of Thanksgiving, and that was because of the Battle of Saratoga, the victory there. And during the 1800s, as we kind of move forward in our nation's history, days of Thanksgiving were common in the 1800s, but they were at different times of the year. They could be anywhere from August to January. I mean, it was just all over the place. There wasn't a unified day to remember, but there was a young lady, a magazine editor. Her name was Sarah Hell, and she wanted it to be one day. You see, in the mid-1800s, the United States was on its way to civil war, and everybody knew it. They saw it coming, and so she thought that if the nation could come together in giving thanks to God, that it might save us from that civil war, and she continued petition for that But it didn't happen until after the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. Abraham Lincoln made it official that fourth Thursday in November would be Thanksgiving Day, and we've held that tradition since. It's kind of morphed and changed over the years. We don't normally eat codfish and lobster for Thanksgiving. I suppose the people in New England may do that. Everybody kind of has their own traditions, but we have that day set aside. By the 1900s, most people, a lot of jobs had moved from agricultural to industrial. A lot of people, they just were glad to have an extra day off. You know, they worked 6 days a week, and they were glad to have a day off for Thanksgiving. And so things have changed. We see retail stores saw the great benefit of it. Hey, Thanksgiving's a great time to kick off the Christmas shopping season. And so in the 1920s, I think it was 1924, the Macy's Day Parade started. Some of you might remember when Macy's Day Parade started. Maybe not. Maybe not quite when it started. But some of you do remember growing up in the early days of the Macy's Day Parade. Back then they called it a Christmas parade. Now it's the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And now they've got parades all over the country. And retailers are taking full advantage of that. Today we've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all the rest of it. And my point in all of this, I want you to understand where it comes from. But I really want you to understand this. That there are so many distractions this time of year. It's become about the food. It's become about football. And certainly it's become about family. And I want to tell you today, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things. I like my family. I like football. And I certainly don't have a problem with pie. Amen. Thank you. And so there's a lot of those things that we want to enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing, but I want to tell you that Thanksgiving is a time to focus on Almighty God. I want you to listen to this. Before we get into the scripture, I want you to listen to what George Washington said. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. And he goes on to say, I recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies of the and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed. And he goes on to say a lot more. I'll not read it all. You can look it up. But I just tell you what a wonderful thing to have a president who saw that the blessings of our nation came from Almighty God. You can think whatever you want to about your president today. You can think whatever you want to about your Congress and your Senate today. And I'm sure that I don't want to open that can of worms today. But I will say this. Whatever the president says or doesn't say, whatever Congress says or doesn't say, whatever the Senate says or doesn't say, today and every day, we ought to be thankful to Almighty God. And I'm thankful that we have a day that's set aside that we can remember. But I want to challenge you in the message today that Thanksgiving cannot be for the Christian a day of the year. It has to be a way of life. You might have noticed on the bulletin the title of the message is Thanks Living. Now, that might sound a little cheesy to some of you, but I'm kind of cheesy, so it works. We need to, listen, we've got to get it. Thanksgiving cannot be a day on the calendar. It has to be a way of life for us. So if you're able, let's stand together. Maybe you found Hebrews 13 by now, verse 15 and 16. We concluded last week's message with these verses and a few thoughts concerning that, and I just want to dig a little deeper into that today. Hebrews 13, 15 says, "By Him," that's Jesus, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for the beautiful day You've given us, for the provision that You've given us day by day. We thank You for the privilege to come and to open Your holy word. And I pray, dear Lord, that everything we've done so far has been glorifying to You, and that everything we do from here on out will give You glory. I pray that You would just help me preach by the power of Your Spirit. I pray You convict hearts as we rejoice in what You've done for us through Christ. I pray for those among us who have never been born again, that You would convict their heart, that today they would turn from their sin and their unbelief. They would put their faith fully and finally in the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord, that they would call on Your name in prayer today and be saved. We pray for the saved, that we be surrendered to Your will. We pray for Your will to be done in all of our lives. And we just rejoice in who You are and what You've done for us, Father. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As we finished up last week, we talked about the fact that thankfulness should abound in the hearts and lives of Christians. We talked last week a little bit about the fact that unthankfulness is not to be found in a Christian. Unthankfulness is the description of those who don't know Christ. But if you're born again, if Christ is in you, then thankfulness should abound in your heart, in your life. And we see here that it's the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What is it? It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And then He says, don't forget to do good. That's a sacrifice of praise to God. So it's with our lips and with our lives. We praise Him with what we say, and we praise Him with what we do. We give Him thanks in our praise and in our practice. And so we want to consider that a little bit more today, a little bit fuller today. We need to commit today not simply to remember to worship God and give Him thanks this holiday season, but to live thankful lives, to walk with thanksgiving. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to kind of be a little bit all over the place in Colossians today, but let's kind of start here in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I want you to get this. We think about thanksgiving and praise. We think about singing songs. We think about listening and singing along with the radio. We think about worshiping along with somebody singing a special. And certainly, singing should be a part of our praise to God. But I want you to know that it's more than that. It's the way we live our life. He says, whatever you do in word or in deed, whatever you say and whatever you practice in your life, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks unto God. You see, whatever we do is to be done with thanksgiving. And that's what we want to do. We want to live lives that are full of thanksgiving. So if you are ready to dive into it today, look at chapter 1 and verse 3. And we're going to just look at some of the ways we are to live with thanksgiving, to have thanks living in our lives. First of all, I want you to know that we've got to pray with thanksgiving. You can't come to God in prayer without having a heart of thankfulness. We've got to come in humility and gratitude for who He is and what He's done if we hope to accomplish anything in our prayers. In chapter 1 and verse 3, He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I want you to get it, friends. When we pray, we ought to pray with thanksgiving. We ought to come before his presence with thanksgiving. Yeah, down in chapter 4, in verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. When we pray with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be careful, or don't worry, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, we ought to come to God with a grateful heart. Those of you that have children, have your children ever asked you for something? Buddy? Okay. No, my kids never ask me for anything. Yeah, they ask you for everything. Sometimes my kids will ask Melissa for something that's sitting right in front of them. Right? I really enjoy the fact that no matter where I am, my children will always ask their mom. Like, it's like I don't even exist. It's pretty awesome. Your kids ask you for things. I want to tell you, though, when my children don't have a grateful heart or a grateful attitude, when they don't have an attitude of gratitude, it changes my willingness to give them anything. Right? It affects my spirit. It affects my attitude. If they're not grateful for what they've got, I'm not going to give them something else. All right, me and Brother Tom are the only hard ones here. The rest of you are just pushovers. All right? No. No, we want our kids to have thankfulness. If they don't appreciate what they have, why would you want to give them something else? And why do we think it's any different? We go to God in prayer and we don't give him thanks for what he's already provided and we just want to give him a list of things that we want. It doesn't work that way, dear friends. We come before his presence with thanksgiving. When we pray, we need to pray with thankful hearts. Listen, everything that you have in your life that's good, it came from God. Everything that's good in your life came from God. Everything. Everything. And even the things that you look at in your life and you say, this is not good, it had to go through the Father to get to you. And God does things for his glory and for your good. The things that you look at in your life today and you think it's a negative thing, you think it's a bad thing, listen, God allowed that to come into your life to help you, to make you better. So we give thanks. We come praying with thanksgiving. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Just in those six verses right there, can you think of anything maybe you ought to be thankful for today? How about Jesus Christ who gave himself a ransom for all? How about a God in heaven who wills to have all men to be saved? Who loves the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, we got a lot to rejoice in today. We got a lot to be thankful for today. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he says back in our text, Colossians 1 and verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. I want to tell you today, you ought to be thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ought to be thankful for the saved. I'm thankful for the saved. I'm thankful for the saints. I'm thankful for those who heard the gospel and believed the gospel, for those who put their faith in Christ, those who have trusted in him. Listen, all of you that are here today that are saved, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you put your faith in Jesus. I'm thankful for the hope that God has given to you. been a lot of funerals lately. And I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for the hope of the gospel. When you have to stand and preach a funeral, and by the way, when I felt like God was calling me into the gospel ministry, I didn't even think about funerals. Like, it never entered my mind. I had these dreams of getting up and preaching the word, and I was excited about that and to get to go to churches and preach and all of those things, but it never, like, it wasn't in the brochure. The funerals. And I've been honored to preach a lot of funerals, and it is an honor to get to preach a funeral. It's an honor that a family would think enough of you to ask you to do that. But I want to tell you, it's never been easy. It's never been easy. I want to tell you this. It's near impossible for me when I don't know if the person was saved or not. I'm thankful for the saints. I'm thankful for the saved. I'm thankful for the hope of the gospel, because when you stand and preach a funeral for someone that you know is saved, it changes everything. Had this funeral service for my cousin Byron this week, and they were able to talk about how Byron was, his faith was in Christ. Now, Byron had a mental handicap, and I think that Byron was safe his whole life through. I believe that. And when he took his last breath, that he opened his eyes in the presence of Jesus. And it was a sad day, and my heart breaks for his mom and dad. But I have great joy in my soul because of the hope of the gospel. It's Christ. You understand today that nobody's in heaven except through Christ. You need to understand that today. You say, well, that's awfully exclusive. That's awfully narrow-minded. Well, listen, friends, Jesus is the only one who died and rose again. No one else did that. No one else has made a payment for our sins. It's Christ and Christ alone. I'm thankful for the saints. I'm thankful for the saving gospel, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. It's the gospel that we rejoice in. It's the save. But the saints, we're thankful for the saved, but we're thankful for the saving gospel. Praise God for the gospel. Can you imagine what your life would be like today if you never had a Bible? Never knew anybody that had a Bible? Never had anybody hand you a gospel tract? Never had anybody knock on your door and tell you about Jesus? Never had anybody bring you to church where you could learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What a terrifying thought that is to me. I thank God that I've had the word of God in my life, the word of the truth of the gospel, and I'm thankful that you've had the word of the truth of the gospel in your life. It's the gospel that we believe in. He said, it's come to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. It's not only the gospel that we believe in, but it's the gospel that we proclaim. We glorify his name. If you were to jump ahead in Colossians 4, to Colossians 4 verses 2 through 6, you'd see, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You see, I believe that we shouldn't just pray and talk to God with thanksgiving, but I believe we ought to talk to other people with thanksgiving, and we ought to give other people the gospel for which we're thankful. Thought about it this week. You know, most of the time when I hear the name Jesus, it's not somebody that's praising his name. Go to a construction site, you hear the name of Jesus, it's not somebody giving glory to him. Turn on the television and watch something, they're not praising his name. A lot of the movies that you guys watch blaspheme the name of the one who died for you and rose again. I want to tell you today that I don't want to hear his name blasphemed. And I'm not going to watch shows that blaspheme his name. And I'm not going to listen to music that blasphemes his name. I want no part of that. Because His name is glorious. It's in His name that we have life everlasting. And I don't understand a child of God who's okay with listening to that. I don't understand how it doesn't grieve your spirit when you get around somebody that takes the name of your Savior and uses His name like a cuss word, and how that doesn't grieve you. Man, it grieves me. Listen, you guys know, most of you know, I've been in construction, around construction my life, and people in construction are just like people anywhere else. They got filthy mouths. And I've never been one of those guys that likes confrontation. I don't like to speak up, and I put up with a lot of stuff that I don't want to listen to. A lot of words that I don't want to hear. But I've got my limits. And when I get around those guys that blaspheme the name of my Savior, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to ask them to stop, or I'm going to remove myself from the situation. I just don't understand how Christians aren't grieved in their spirit when they hear that. His name is to be praised. His name is to be praised. His name is to be proclaimed. Paul said, pray for me with thanksgiving. Pray for me that I can make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for me that God will open a door of utterance. You know, we pray this a lot on our outreach days. Up until the time change, we did it on Tuesday nights. Now we're doing it on Sunday afternoons. We pray for that before we go. Lord, open the door for the gospel to be preached. That's a great prayer. And that's what we want to see. We ought to pray with thanksgiving. We ought to proclaim with thanksgiving. And what is it that we're proclaiming? Well, we're proclaiming our Savior, Jesus Christ. There in Colossians 1 and verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to give you some great news today. If anybody in this room is going to heaven, you're going to heaven because of Jesus. Isn't that good? Now, I want to take just a second to talk about this, because I think a lot of people in the world have a problem with this. I know a lot of people in Muldrow, Oklahoma have a problem with this. Because we knock on their door and we tell them who we are. We say, hey, we're from Calvary and just want to talk to you for a minute today. And we give them a tract. And by the way, there's thank you tracts out there. You should get some and hand them out wherever you go. It's an amazing thing. You hand it to people and you say, thank you. You know what they usually say? Thank you. You know what else you can do? You can say, happy Thanksgiving. See that? Good. Everybody paying attention? I'll show you how to do it again. I like to give out those gospel tracts, and we talk to people, and I like to ask people the question, if you died today and you stood before the Lord in judgment, and he said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And almost without fail, most people, like 99% of the people around here, will start talking about their good works. Well, I try to be a good person. I try to do right by people. And they start talking about what they're going to do. I want to help you out today. If you're going to get to heaven by what you do, you're not going to get to heaven. We're going to understand that. We're not saved by works. If keeping the law could get us to heaven, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus come and die for you? Why was he crucified? Why was he buried? Why did he rise again if you could be saved by keeping the law? Do you understand how ridiculous that is? It makes no sense. Why would God die and rise again if we could be saved by keeping the law? So understand, you don't get to heaven by good works. It's not how you get there. You get there because you put your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's him. Let me take it another step further for you today. You don't stay saved by your works. You could not be good enough to earn your way to heaven. And you cannot be good enough to keep yourself saved. You see, Jesus said when you're saved, you're born again. You become a child of God. He gives you a new spiritual DNA. You become his child, and nothing will ever, ever change that. We have a lot to be thankful for today, and we ought to grow in thanksgiving. Look at Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What are we doing? Well, we're supposed to be rooted and built up. We're growing in Christ. We're established in the faith. We're growing in the truth of the Word of God. And as we grow, we abound in thanksgiving. What I'm trying to tell you today, friends, is you shouldn't be less thankful today in Christ than you were the day you got saved. You should be more thankful today than you've ever been before. And see, we're not like that. Usually we get something new and shiny and we're really thankful. Some of you are going to buy your children toys and they're going to play with the box instead of the toy. They're going to get this new shiny thing and it's going to be cool, and then it's going to get set to the side and forgotten about. And then mom's going to find it 6 months later and say, the kids haven't played with this in 6 months, I'm getting rid of it. And they're all going to flip out. No, no, don't get rid of it. I love that. Okay, this only happens at my house. Okay. What is it? We like something new, it's shiny, and we're excited about it for a little bit, and then it fades away. Dear friends, we can't be that way about Christ. What's wrong with this? How could we be less thankful today than we were the day we got saved? We need to grow in our thanksgiving. And the more you grow in Christ, the more thankful you'll be for Christ. You see, the more you study your Bible, the more you're going to understand just how depraved we are as people, how desperately we needed a Savior. The more you study your Bible, the more you're going to learn about who Christ is and what He's done for you. The more you understand the depth of His love, the more thankful you're going to be. We got to have a desire to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 5 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Friends, we come and give spiritual sacrifices. What is that? That's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's the work of our lives giving thanks to His name. As we grow in thankfulness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we've got to pray, we've got to proclaim, we've got to grow, and we've got to live in thanksgiving. Back in our text in Colossians 1 verses 10 and 12, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Do you get it? We walk worthy of the Lord. Our goal is to please Him, to be fruitful in our work, to increase in the knowledge, and we do it by His strength. We have to live our lives in thankfulness. I've asked you a couple of times the last few weeks, what if tomorrow when you wake up, all you have left is what you gave thanks for today? I wonder how little we would be left with if we did that. A couple of years ago, we got this from some friends of ours, and every night at their devotional, they would go around and each one of the kids and each one of the parents would say one thing that they're thankful for. And we started doing that in our family devotions a couple years ago every night. And it's such a small thing, such a simple thing, and I'd never thought about it. Never even thought about it. But that's what we do every night. We read our devotionals and we talk about that. And before we pray, each one in the family goes around and just says one thing they're thankful for. It doesn't have to be the thing you're most thankful for. But, you know, it's a great thing to be thankful every day. If we're going to live lives of thanksgiving, then we're going to have to think about what we're thankful for. I read about a lady who a couple years ago started something she called a thanks living jar. And every day, she got a big jar, and every day she got a piece of paper, and she wrote down at least one thing she was thankful for, and she put it in that jar. She said, some days it was really easy. I could list off three or four things. It was a good day. I was thankful for a lot of stuff. There were other days I had a hard time just finding one thing that I was thankful for. Anybody have those days? It's a really bad, terrible, no good, rotten day. But she said, I forced myself, even on those bad days, to find something I was thankful for. At the end of a year, she took that jar and dumped it out and went through every one of those things, 365 of them. And she said, you wouldn't believe what it did to my heart to go back and the joy that it brought to remember. Because some days it was just a beautiful sunrise or a walk in the park. Or getting to play with the kids, or a warm house, a warm bed, a good meal, time with family, time with friends, to have a job, to have an income. We've got to be intentional about giving thanks. When the Bible says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, I want you to see that this all culminates in verse 12 with giving thanks unto the Father. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, giving thanks. Being fruitful in every good work, giving thanks. Increasing in the knowledge of God, giving thanks. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. You see, in everything that we do, we need to give thanks. In our text, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, whatever we say, we've got to learn to do it with thanksgiving. If you take the time to read all of chapter 3, you'd see how much of it deals with this thing of thanksgiving. So I want to ask you this morning, are you thankful? Who are you thankful to? What are you thankful for? Think about who He is and what He's done. And let's have hearts of thanksgiving today. We're going to prepare for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, will you stand with me? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This morning I want to ask you a question. Have you been forgiven? Have you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you know without any doubt that when this life's over, you'll spend eternity in heaven with God? If you don't know that today, you can know that. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of everlasting life. If you've never been saved, I plead with you to put your faith in Christ today. You don't understand that? You got questions about that? You come. Talk to me this morning in the invitation time or to one of our brothers and sisters who can help you. But you need to know that you have eternal life. If you've been saved, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Are you serving Him in the church? Are we living lives of thankfulness? Thanksgiving can't just be one day on the calendar. It has to be a way of life. Every moment of every day, we are humble and we are grateful for who He is and for what He's done for us. If He's convicting your heart about any decision today, you come right now while we sing.